Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Stock up for the big whiteout weekend right now. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies and the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Today on the show, Ryan Snyder on the big recruiting weekend. Peter King on the NFL weekend. And the King on any weekend. We now turn to America's basket case.
No good! No good! No good!
Did you really think Stanton was going to come through with a hit late in the game?
It's really anybody at this point, to be honest with you.
Again, repeating, did you think Stanton would come, after everything I've talked about all season, did you think Stanton would come through with a big hit when they needed it after the fourth inning?
Well, no.
I knew he would strike out. Next, move on.
No.
He can't handle this.
Yeah.
This is not his deal. He can't handle it.
But he was my last resort of hope because he's actually been one of the better hitters for the Yankees this postseason.
Okay, what inning was it?
Which is saying something for itself.
What inning was it?
I know what inning was it, but I'm saying he's been, and that's not been the case. Hasn't been in that inning. That's the whole problem here. Yankees can't hit.
Okay, he's relaxed at the beginning of the game. Then the game gets a little tight, and guess what? He can't hit.
I know.
You spent $2.5 billion on him.
I know.
Or some number like that. If he's worth that much money, how much is Judge worth?
Exactly right. But yeah, Brian Cashman's turning into Mr. Cheapskate.
He has nothing to do with this. Zero.
Well, I should say the ownership.
You've got to stop blaming the general manager. He only does what he is allowed to do. Okay?
The Steinbrenners have been Mr. Cheapskate.
Okay, you could Brian Cashman all you want. Guess what? Can Lasuke go out there and say, we're going to pay Mark Lawrence and pick a gigantic number or whatever and just do it? Or does Roger have to approve it?
Most likely you'd have to get the okay from the boss man.
Yeah, that's how business works. All right, so to sit there and go, Cashman, but now when it comes to the deals Cashman makes, he makes the deals. So you can criticize the deals, what they gave up, what they got in return, what he thought somebody might be able to do, help, or whatever. That part, yes. When it comes to what the guy gets paid, the ownership tells him what the limits are.
Yeah, the ownership's turning him a bunch of cheapskates right now.
You have a $280 million payroll. You're not that cheap.
Why are we?
You just beat a team with a $69 million payroll. That, by the way, extended you to the limit.
Exactly, which is why they need to act like the New York Yankees and the payroll that they have and sign this guy in the offseason. Aaron Judge, I'm talking about.
So you need a $380 million payroll to beat a $69 million payroll in the sweep.
If that's what you have to do, that's what you have to do. I can't help that Major League Baseball is so messed up the way it is with the salary cap. You're the New York Yankees. Act like it this offseason and don't go don't go low ball on Aaron Judge, the guy that's been the face of your franchise for so long and has done everything he can to carry this team to this point when he has no, I mean zero help at all.
Yeah, but your fans booed him.
And again, that was more of an indirect boo, I think, at Judge at the time.
No, they booed him. They booed the management. He's walking back to the dugout. He's not sitting there going, hey, they're booing Brian Cashman. you think nobody thinks that. They booed him.
I'm saying boos can be second level.
No, it's not.
But
they
if you were
him.
Booing at Aaron Judge, then yeah, you that's a major violation.
He struck out four times.
Yeah.
They booed him.
Yeah.
We expect more. The only reason you have seats, Bozo, is because of him. You know him, you're not in the playoffs.
But the reason why I'm talking about the offseason already is because the series is over.
Let's see what they do in the next two games. Yeah, Garrett Cole. Who's going next? Cole, I assume?
Yeah, Garrett Cole and Nasty Nestor these next two games. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Sweetie Murdy just tweeted this out last night. Yankees have struck out 30 times and lost two games by a total of 3 runs. That's all you need to know. If this team doesn't hit, this team's not going to win. I don't care if it's at Yankee Stadium or if it's at Minute Maid Park. They can't hit. Tons of chances again last night with runners in scoring position, and nobody can hit. Nobody makes adjustments at the plate with the same pitches, sliders down and away, with Verlander the night before, with Valdez last night. Nobody learns to make adjustments at the plate. That's also part of the problem for the Yankees. So, yeah, in my opinion, the series is over. As I even said beforehand, Astros win this in 4 or 5 games. I do.
You seem awfully angry.
Oh, my almighty!
And then you're going to go and tell me that you're going to try to be at a certain budget with Aaron Judge, the only guy that's been hitting consistently. It makes zero sense. Zero.
I really haven't said anything. I just said they're up 2 games to none. After that, you kind of took off on a rant. Seemed to hate a lot of people.
When I talk about those kind of numbers, it doesn't help. I'm sorry.
Seem angry.
A little bit.
I'm worried about you. You're probably screaming at the TV last night, keeping the kids awake.
That is always a challenge, yes. But I've only done that one time.
You did it last night. Come on, admit it.
Actually, I was pretty proud of myself last night. I kept my mouth shut while I'm putting Luke to sleep. I'm laying down next to him in his bed, and I have the game on my phone on silent. And I'm just looking at it, and I'm just doing my own gestures. Gotta do what you gotta do.
You're angry.
Yeah. A little bit.
It's just the Yankees. Still got the Eagles. They'll be a first round of eggs in the playoffs, and this will be worse.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
No.
Doesn't
this
help.
It's been a rough time for you. Like, there's just enough to feel good about, and then Lucy pulls the football away.
Listen, you can give me some more therapy when I see you tomorrow night. Maybe, if you have time.
No offense, I'm going to be really busy. I'd also like
Before
to do the
game.
I'd also like to do the game in peace. Thank you. I've already got enough pregame show requests. Like, can we stop by? Like, no. So, I've been nice about all of them, said yes to all of them. So.
Yeah.
But there is going to be a point where I get in the booth, I'm done.
Yes.
It's time to do the game.
As it should be.
You know, time to do the game. All right. Free game therapy, you're on your own. Okay. You got your dude out there pitching tomorrow. Now the Phillies play tonight. Now, who's pitching for the Phillies tonight?
It is Ranger Suarez tonight.
He was okay.
Yeah, I think this is winnable.
Well, I mean, look. The guy he's facing is pretty good.
He is, but I just think, I know you don't necessarily believe this, but I just think that crowd, the way it's been, I just think it's a different animal for teams to deal with. That's just me. And that's why I think that gives the Phillies a significant advantage. I'm not saying they're going to win these next three games and win the series at home, but I think they can win 2 out of 3.
So, in other words, you think the crowd in baseball going insane, like, has the same effect as a guy trying to call stuff at the line of scrimmage?
For the whiteout, if Minnesota's got a freshman quarterback tomorrow, then yes, absolutely.
Yes, I know. But in baseball?
In baseball? Just because of the way the Phillies' fever's
been. I'm Joe Musgrove. I can't pitch in this atmosphere. What am I going to do? I pitched at Dodger Stadium. I don't know. I pitched at Citi Field.
This is Philly he's going in. Dodger Stadium's like, give me a little teacup.
No offense, it doesn't mean anything. I think it's fun that the fans are into it, but it means zilch. I mean, seriously. In terms of, like, the effect that they have on the game, it doesn't mean anything. It means nothing. Did the Phillies win in San Diego?
They did, but again, San Diego, that crowd, compared to Citizens Bank Park, it's not even close.
Really? Looked to me like they're pretty much into it.
Game 2, they were a little bit better. Game 1, I would say not so much. That's like saying Rutgers' crowd is good. It's as good as Beaver Stadium.
Yeah, but there's also twice as many people here. I mean, no offense, I just don't think it has much of an effect on baseball, except I know the wins, right? I know the crowds behind me. And as soon as the Phillies fall behind, they'll boo them like the Yankee fans do, and then they'll be it. It has, like, a negative effect. Yeah, it's like this. That's the way it goes.
Well, hopefully that won't be the case.
I'm just telling you, I think the crowd is great. The crowd is into it. The crowd in baseball does not have much of an effect on the game. I mean, no offense. I can speak to this from, obviously I don't play, but from an announcer's point of view, okay? Right? Do you think in the very least that, like, the crowd means anything to what I'm doing up there?
Other than enhancing the broadcast? No. You personally? No.
It is amazing when you are doing what you're doing. You talk to one athlete after another, they'll tell you they can tune it out.
Oh, yeah, I've been there before. You have to block everything out.
Yeah, but you can tune it out. You're concentrating so much on what you're doing.
Right.
I think Joe Musgrove's, we're going to throw him off. Hey, really? You want to think that? Go get another beer. All right. terrific. I'm going to get a Schmitz. All right. Back to the old days. I'm going to get a Schmitz. You know, I think the atmosphere is great. The Philadelphia atmosphere is going to come right through the TV set tonight. No question. Just like the Yankee Stadium atmosphere will come through the TV set tomorrow afternoon. Just like the Minnesota Penn State atmosphere is going to come right through the TV set tomorrow night. Okay? That part's going to be great. It's going to make the watching experience enjoyable. Their effect on the game in baseball, not much. I struck out. The crowd really got to me. Huh? You're telling me the Houston crowd was had an effect on the game last night?
No, that's because the Yankees just can't hit, period. They couldn't hit with, like, a pin drop.
So the Houston crowd had nothing to do with it?
Probably a little bit, but not that much.
No, exactly. It's going to be the same thing in Yankee Stadium. I don't, you know, I mean, being home is great. It's the comfort of being home in baseball that means something. But you're seeing it over and over again. I mean, you know, look at the championships that have been won, you know, on opposing ice, on opposing courts, on opposing fields. I mean, you know, the Red Sox have won 4 World Series this century, right? 3 of the 4 were won at the other guy's place.
True.
I mean, whatever. It's like, it's not, you know. I mean, the Rams have hosted the Super Bowl. They hosted the Super Bowl, right? So let's look at the AFC Championship game last year. Cincinnati played at Kansas City. Who won?
Yeah, Cincinnati in overtime. You're right.
Right. If you're good, you're good. Doesn't matter what the crowd's doing. Joe Musgrove is not sitting in his hotel room going, oh my goodness, there's going to be 55,000 people that actually will not be hitting, fielding, or running. What do I do? Oh, maybe I ought to concentrate on Aaron Judge. Maybe I ought to concentrate on Bryce Harper. Yeah, I'll do that. Harper hits a home run or Schwarber hits a home run. It's not going to be because of the crowd. It's going to be because they did a great job of getting a pitch they needed and belting it. I mean, Schwarber's home run went 488 feet. All right, in San Diego. If the crowd wasn't there, it would have gone 560?
Certainly looked like it.
I'm just saying, but the crowd's out there. He didn't hit it as far because of the crowd. You hate my attitude on these things.
Sometimes, yes.
But see,
but it's well reasoned always. I can never fault you for that.
Because there's a lot of myths in sports, and the press spends all the time on. Well, if this is a big revenge game, you get smacked in the face in the first play of the game. Like they're not going to sit there going, "That's okay, we got revenge." It's like, come on, you got to play for 3.5 hours. The revenge game. Okay, great. I mean, did they ever hear me use that term?
Oh, I've heard that often, yeah.
No, have you ever heard me use that
term? Oh, yeah, no, no.
No, there's
not.
A reason why, because I don't believe in that stuff. You're either better, you know, it's all about matchups. You're either better or you're worse. You hate that attitude. It's too logical. I think being at home for the Yankees is worth 8 runs. Really? No?
No, senor!
Who's going for Houston, by the way? I don't know.
Good question. I'll have to look that up. I don't know.
I assume it's another professional. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today. Again, this was... You hate my attitude on these things.
No, but at the same time, these things are always cathartic for me. So you always give me that platform.
As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult...
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, Domestics, Microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Stock up now for that whiteout tailgate. Water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Pickle Bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. This is a show that tries to keep a positive outlook on life. We apologize for the out-of-control rant by the co-host in the opening half hour. I mean, really.
I give my apologies as well.
What was the thought process there? Hey, unreal. Goodness. Angry as all get out. Beautiful wife, great kids, good job, fabulous co-worker.
All and correct.
And you're all upset. I don't understand. Just because the carpenter kid can't get a hit.
Yeah.
I mean, did you really think that the $6 billion man was going to get a hit after the fourth inning? Did you really think that was going to happen? No.
Yeah, I had my doubts. Yeah.
You should have. He's got a track record. Not
begrudgingly,
good.
I did, yes.
All right. Phillies tonight. Should be fun. Was it 7:37 tonight?
Yes, sir, on Eagle 107.
Eagle 107 this evening with the great Scott Fransky, Tommy McCarthy. L.A., whole group, before a wild, raucous, fun crowd. I'm going to assume Raj is going to be there tonight, right?
I don't. My guess is yes. I know he was there for at least one of, or if not both of the DS games, so I'm guessing he will be there tonight.
That is cool. That is great. Hope it's a lot of fun, great game tonight. I'll be watching every second of it, and then we have high school football tonight. Shikellamy back in action. Tough one with Mount Carmel tonight. Another venue where Dave Ritchie is beloved and somebody else is reviled. All right.
S-U-I-T. That spells suit-a.
He has said so many negative things about so many communities over the years. How can he possibly show up? All right, I'm just kidding. Kevo does great. All right, it's a huge recruiting weekend here. And so you've got the game, you've got recruits. The numbers are going to be gigantic. So the guy that will break it all down for us from On3.com, Blue White Illustrated, and that is Ryan Snyder. Ryan, big weekend. Welcome back.
Busy, busy week. Steve, told you last time we talked. This is the week to chat. So.
Yeah, this is the week. Yep.
Yeah, good week to reach out.
Yeah, so here we go. Every guy comes to the quarterback club, and they always get asked either by me or by whomever. And usually I'm just asking now because you know the crowd's going to ask anyway. What were some of the influences that got you to Penn State? Okay. You know, and they'll list a bunch of things, right? But a constant one is, and then I went to the whiteout game. So.
Yeah.
What's it look like in terms of attendance this time?
Looks really, really deep. I'm at 92 players at the moment. I know it's going to be probably closer to 130, 140. I mean, at times we've seen 150. 70 or so. Now the staff has learned that there really is too much. You can't have too many, I guess you would say. So they've tried to, in recent years, cut it back a little bit to, and really make sure it's top, you know, quality guys. So I have 92 prospects at the moment that Sean and I have worked on. And out of those players, about 60 of them hold scholarship offers. And that's, of course, including some of the committed players. So, man, that's an incredibly impressive list. I mean, we always put these lists together. And, of course, you're always going to see a handful of guys not end up making it. But, you know, if there are truly 60, a little over 60 scholarship guys in attendance, it would probably be the deepest whiteout list we've ever seen. So let's see who shows up. The weather looks perfect.
Which it is.
Be a, you know, right. Yeah. You got the night game, which you need to get people to State College, of course. And so everything is in Penn State's favor for this to be one of the deepest recruiting lists we've ever seen.
How many different years are going to be represented among those 130 you're talking about? 92 to 130 you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, so I have 2026 guys. I wouldn't be shocked if there's a 2027 somewhere out there that I learned about on Sunday. That usually happens. You know, Sean and I will be going through pictures and stuff, and I'll send it over to him, and we'll start searching, and we'll learn that he's actually an eighth grader. So I've seen that before. but right now I have two 2026 guys. And, you know, these are obviously way down the road. They're just freshmen in high school now. But two names for people to remember. Messiah Mickens, he plays at Trinity High School down here in Camp Hill. I'm actually going to see him play tonight. They play Steele High. Messiah has a Texas A&M offer already. And then Marquise Wimberly, too, a really good running back out of Parkland. No offers yet for Marquez, but I know he went out to Oregon in the summer and put up some really good track numbers. I mean, whenever you're going out there to Eugene for those national Nike competitions, you're a very special athlete. So, with everybody from 2026, 2025, 2024, and of course, 2023 is the current class. I mean, I would say that the 2024 is going to be the massive bulk of this list. I mean, I would say probably 60% will just be in that class with the other three classes making up the other 40.
Who is the recruiter in the 23 group that will be signing in December?
The recruiter will be signing?
Yeah, who are the recruiters, in other words, the players, that will get on social media or text or do whatever and say, hey, look, join me, be a part of the group?
That's a good question. So basically what you're asking is who are, like, the best recruiters in this class?
Who are the guys, you know, like Brenneman was, like Hackenberg was?
Right,
I mean,
right.
I don't know.
Just making sure we're on the same page there.
I want to make sure I clarify the question.
Yeah. So, you know, it's an interesting group because I always get asked about Brenneman and Hackenberg, and they're always just – they got to be on a different level because of the circumstances at the time, right? It was toxic. There's never any – I'll never, ever compare guys to those two. But a couple guys that really stand out in this class to me, I have to start with Alex Birchmeyer. Was he the first guy to commit in this class, but he – I mean, look at this offensive line class. You have Anthony Donko. You have Javen Williams. Of course, you have Cooper Cousins, 2024. I mean, it's a really strong class, and Alex Birchmeyer was a massive reason for that. So I always have to point to Birchmeyer as somebody who really stands out a lot. You know, Joey Schlafler and Andrew Rapelier, too, and they're two tight ends, but they're, like, really social guys, right? Like, I mean, both of them are – I would say Joey's a little more active on social media, but when you get to know them, just great personalities, you know, guys that everybody wants to hang out with and get to know. I feel like those two have, you know, really done a good job recruiting as well. You know, I'd be remiss to not think of Matthias Barnwell, who, of course, was one of the first to commit. Matthias was actually, at one point, the youngest player to ever commit to Penn State football. Right. You know, he stepped away from it then and took some time to look things over and then, of course, recommitted. But, you know, Matthias has been blue and white for, you know, 2-3 years now, it feels like. So, you know, he's an excellent recruiter. Really, that Virginia area, you know, Tony Rojas is a great personality as well.
Yeah.
You know, I mentioned Birchmeyer. Donko is a guy who is, as he's gotten older or, you know, been committed longer, talking to more and more guys. So it really is a mixed group. I wouldn't say there's like one or two guys I really point to this year. If I had to really pick one, I'd probably lean towards Birchmeier just because he was the first one that really got it going. He's been doing it for like a year and a half now. I mean, it's wild to think back on that.
Running backs. And I brought this up the last time because of the circumstances, not because of the player. The player is terrific, but we know what the circumstances are. What about running backs immediately in the 23 class, and in what about 24?
Yeah, so right now in 2023, I'm mainly looking at Chris Johnson in Miami. I really feel like he is, without a doubt, Penn State's top target there out of Dillard High School. It's just going to be hard to get him on campus. I think like that is that's really where the staff's kind of – I mean, if they can get him up for an official visit, I feel like that's their main chance there. But when I just look at some of the other schools that are involved, it's going to be hard there with Chris. So we'll see. They did just hand out a recent running back offer not too long ago. I'm trying to remember the name, Steve. Off the top of my head to remember the name. I think it was Cameron Wallace, I want to say. Struggling to remember where he's from. I think he was from Georgia, Montgomery, Georgia. I'm trying to pull it up on my computer quick. But I've been trying to get in touch with Cam. Obviously, you guys can't tell. I've been struggling to get in touch with this kid. But he was offered about a week ago. Right. I don't really know a ton. You know, there's an Indiana offer. I remember Georgia Tech, a couple other smaller Power Fives.
But any of these to be a, any running ahead. Backs coming in this weekend?
Oh, yeah. There will definitely be a couple to keep an eye on this weekend. I mean, when I really look up and down the list, I really like Sam Williams Dixon from Ohio. And you know, like so many others that end up at Penn State, he camped with the staff this year. And so they have really good information as far as the kind of athlete that he is. And he just seems to have really strong interest in Penn State, too. A good offer list. I wouldn't say it's in a deep elite one yet. But, you know, he's all signs are pointing to him being a, you know, high three-star, low four-star kind of guy. Right now we have him as a three-star, but his stock is certainly on the rise just from watching him this year. He's got a Tennessee offer, Kentucky, Pitt, a couple other quality schools. I think Iowa State was another one that stood out to me, just when I was talking to him recently. But other guys to note, I mean, Sam's the main one for this weekend. DeJuan Williams from St. Francis will be up. We'll see. I'm trying to get a better feel for that. And then Daniel Coles as well from Stafford, Virginia. Another guy that, you know, I think the season, you know, the film that comes back this season will give us a better feel for where they're at on the board. But Williams Dixon, because he camped and because of some of the interest, seems just to be a little higher on the board. I will mention that John Forster and Jabri Wallace Coleman are two really good 2025 running backs. Wallace Coleman's actually already committed to Georgia. He plays at Emetep in Philly. Those are two other guys that will be here this weekend, but they're 2025, so a couple years down the road.
Right, exactly. How are things looking of an upper four-star, up a five-star guys coming, or five-star guys coming in?
Oh, it's deep. I mean, it's a lot of upper four stars. The one five star right now we know for sure is Ellis Robinson. He's originally from Connecticut, but he's down playing at IMG Academy at the moment. So, you know, it's always like that gift and the curse of guys from the Northeast going to IMG, right? Like, you know they're going to get good competition, they're going to progress, but they're also going to have a reason for Alabama to be knocking on the door and, recruiting them pretty hard. So, but getting him back is massive because he hasn't been here for almost a year, right? I mean, he went down to IMG last year. And hasn't visited since. So getting him back is really, really important. I think actually last year his visit was for the Illinois game, which was 10-23, and of course this game will be 10-22. So like it's literally a year since he's been here. Some other guys that stand out, Ernest Willer is another prospect from IMG Academy. From Baltimore, we have him as a defensive end, a guy that I think Penn State should be a top five or so prospect with. Just you know, whether they're going to be one or two, I still kind of need to learn a little bit more, but we'll see. I'm trying to think of some other guys. Oh, Brady Priestcorn is, I think, Penn State's top tight end prospect out of Michigan. This will be like his third or fourth visit to Penn State overall. So he's another pretty important guy for, Ty Howe and the gang there. But I would say right now, when I was going through the list earlier, I'm trying to remember the numbers. I think it was about a dozen or so top top 150 guys, I believe is what the number was. And then when you go to top 200, it was a little over that. I think it was like 16, 17, something like that. So, I mean, at the end of the day, there should be around two dozen top 300 prospects that make up this list.
Wow. Okay. Quarterbacks. People aren't thinking so much about quarterback because of the obvious ones that are on the roster right now, but mm-hmm. because we're talking about guys in 24 and 25 and maybe somebody in the 26, what does that look like?
Yeah. So Penn State was hoping to get Jaden Davis on campus. He's pretty much their top 2024. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be able to make it, though. So he plays in Charlotte, you know, lives in Charlotte. They're playing a game in Georgia this weekend. So with it being out of state, you know, they were trying to make it work where he could fly out of Atlanta then and come up here. But just talking to his dad actually just like an hour or two ago, they weren't able to make that work. So that hurts a little bit. You know, the family should be back here at some point. They visited a couple times. You know, do I think Jaden Davis is going to end up at Penn State? Honestly, I probably don't. I think they're fringe top five at the moment, probably a couple teams ahead of them. So we'll see what develops there. They are getting K.J. Jackson back on campus, who's a very intriguing prospect out of Montgomery, Alabama. K.J. was up here again in the summer. Again, another guy who camped, another guy who, you know, they have accurate numbers for and everything, and that's so important at every position. But actually getting to see guys throw at quarterback is, you know, all the more important. So be curious to see, you know, how K.J. reacts to seeing the whiteout and where Penn State stands. If I had to make a pick for KJ, I do think Penn State would be his school. I just think there's a couple other guys like Jaden Bradford who probably won't be here this weekend, but you know, he's been here a couple times as well, who are probably a little higher on the board at the moment. There is one other guy I have to mention for 2025, and that's Ryan Montgomery. Mm-hmm. His brother Luke is heading to Ohio State though, so I don't know how that's gonna play out in the end. But Ryan Montgomery's been here a couple times. Family's really high on Penn State. But in the end of the day, when your brother picks Ohio State, it's kind of hard to see little brother coming to Penn State.
Well, and Nola's playing different teams. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's a little different.
That's a little different deal. Okay, I just want to make sure. Ryan, always a pleasure. A lot to sort out on a whiteout weekend when you're talking 92 to 130. It's a lot of organization for the staff, and it's a lot of work for you.
Yeah, and it's not even this weekend, too, man, with Ohio State next week.
Yep.
Boom, boom. I mean, these are two of the most important recruiting weekends of the year. I mean, really, they're really the most important two remaining. You know, you may have a couple official visits at the end, but this is the big two weekends here to end 2022.
Ryan, thanks so much. Appreciate all the information.
Of course, Steve. We'll talk soon.
Ryan Snyder on 3.com and Blue White Illustrated. Refreshing to talk to somebody. Just wanted to just talk and just give information and not be bitter.
And we can always count on that from Ryan Snyder.
Really, any guest we have.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
You're struggling.
Well, let me try with this. The founder of Penn State's Whiteout is back as a game day consultant, and his first game is tomorrow.
Yes, I've known that for a while.
I guess it was just made public today then.
Oh, was it made public today?
Yeah, Neil Riddell was all over it because, of course, he's the Altoona guy.
Right. Yeah, it's Guido.
Yeah.
Guido DeLeo. So, hey, as I said to Pat Kraft, I'll give you my exact quote to Pat, okay? I said, you need to have a guy there. I said, there are people that know how to do the job. I said, which is fine. That's great. I said, but it's really important to have somebody who has a feel for the job. I said, and that's Guido.
Definitely.
That was my quote to him.
I would agree.
But Pat, I'll tell this. Pat did this one on his own. Okay? This was Pat. Pat did this on his own, just so you know. Wasn't one of those, kind of looked around, he talked to a lot of, you know, he talked to people like, hey, you know, and especially people have gone through and been around here. Yeah, sure. Did he get some feedback? Yeah, but he made the call. He went out. He called Guido himself. That's how it worked out. So terrific. All right. Great to have you with us on the show today. Peter King in the next half hour, then back to the whining in the final half hour. Ugh.
Oh, that's between, true.
between Matt and the King, it's just, I mean,
oh,
I mean,
boy.
I don't think I'm going to say much of anything. I really don't. I'm just going to kind of let the two of you just go at it. And
that's fine.
Yeah. You know, be a lot of, I don't even know if hate's too strong a word. As we continue here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.